Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Kate Duffy from Wisfis Bank, Jennifer Schaefer, JS Benefits Group, Matthew Shapiro, Obermeyer, Bob Clements, FRS Advisors, and Julia Langan, Consumer 51. Matthew, could you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today, please?
We're starting off today with Ron Sheets. He's the CEO of FM Brown Sons, Inc. Then we'll have Rich Hipp, the CEO of SLM Facilities. We have Robert Strong, the CEO of Quaint Oak Bank. And we'll be wrapping up today with Gary Puddles, who's the CEO of AnswerNet.
Let's get to our first guest, Ron Sheets, CEO of FM Brown Sons. What is FM Brown Sons? What are you guys doing, Ron?
So we're a 150-plus-year-old family business here in Berks County. We have three operating divisions. We do flour milling, we do farm feed, and we have a pet food division that has a national brand, small animal, pet bird, wild bird seed.
Gotcha. And you mentioned you're about 160, 170 employees or so, 168 years old or something. What was the
150 years owned by the same family, about 168 employees across that group of companies.
Gotcha. So where you're from, how many brothers and sisters? Give me that again.
Sure. I am about an hour north of the Reading and Allentown, Pennsylvania areas where I grew up. I am the middle child of five. So older brother, older sister, younger brother, younger sister.
All righty. And 8 to 14, you mentioned that you were a good student. You were involved in sports. You're involved with church. And also you mentioned that you hung around with the neighborhood kids. You had an interesting experience with the neighborhood kids, where you organized some of the parents to take some of the neighborhood kids to do something. What was that experience, and what's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Yeah, so I think, I'm always curious. I just always love education, love to study. So it's always like, what's going on around me? Growing up in an area where we had a lot of coal mines, I was probably about 12 years old, and I just wanted to explore. So, convinced somebody from our church, who had a car and would be a mentor, to take a group of us, probably a dozen of us kids, to just go. And we visited like two or three different sites over the course of that day and really kind of just explored that. So, really just enjoyed that opportunity to pull the group together.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
I think, as the leader of a business, you're always kind of looking out what's on the horizon, what's coming down the road, and then how do you organize your team, but also outsiders. We don't have all the answers inside the company, so we got to bring in the advisors to kind of help us look at where we're heading and then pull that team together and collaborate.
Gotcha. Kate?
So, Ron, you grew up as a middle child, and often that means we're peacemakers, we're adaptable, we learn how to read the room. So now that you're leading within a fifth and sixth generation family business, how does that middle child wiring show up in how you lead today?
Great question, Kate. Yeah, again, I think as middle child, so, big gap in my brothers and sisters, but they're finding that balance, finding that collaboration, like how do you pull it all together? And I think as I'm leading Browns through their generation five to generation six transition, I am trying to like bridge that generation gap. I actually had the generation five members create a video of what information they would pass on to generation six. So it's just, how do you bring that all together?
Gotcha. Matthew.
Ron, you've got a real kind of envisioning how things ought to be, bringing people along, collaboration kind of style. I'm curious, if we go back 8 to 14, who's your role model in that kind of stuff? Who taught you how to run organizations?
So I really didn't have a business background. My dad was a truck driver and coal miner, World War II sergeant, probably my high school football coach and an English teacher. He had the biggest influence on me at that time.
And you told me his name was John Harkins. What is that influence, and how do you bring it with you to work every day?
I think it's that, that he brought a ton of energy to everything he did, but he brought that discipline as well, right? As a football coach, right? But then he opened up my eyes to a love of reading. I read about 50 books a day, and he just brought energy and enthusiasm, and he didn't take himself too seriously, yet he was, advancing me in terms of how I viewed the world.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Hi, Ron. So you mentioned that your dad was a coal miner. What was that like for you when he came home at night, and how did that impact you today?
Yeah, Jennifer, great question. Dad, you know, he worked swing shifts, so oftentimes he'd come home from work and be going right to bed, and we had to be quiet in the house. And you know, and as a sergeant and a really hard worker, I think what he instilled in us as his children were that hard work ethic, you know, that you just grind it out. But then the other influence he always said to me was, you need to really focus on getting a great education because you don't want to work as hard as I work. And so he really pushed us into that education arena.
Julia?
Ron, being a middle child, I'm curious if that plays into you having two generations, five and six, and how are you leading them differently today?
Yeah, it certainly does. And again, I think it's that finding that balance. You know, when I took the role about a year ago, somebody said, you have to run the business. Like, you have to stay focused on running the business. You can't be the family psychiatrist. But on the same token, the family dynamic and the emotional dynamic of the business and the family, you do have to bridge the gap, especially as you're leading a transition, a generational transition from, you know, five to six. So I think I just lean into everybody in the family. Create better communications and better opportunities to collaborate. You know, we just pulled a task force together of G5 and G6 members to think about what's the future of our family farm.
Gotcha. Bob?
My question is around the same thing with bridging that family gap, having to do that as the middle children. Can you give specific examples of how you've worked with the fifth and sixth generation to prepare them for that transition?
Yeah, so great question, Bob. I spent more time with G6 getting them ready for a future that's way different than when G5 inherited the company, right? And so leaning in on teaching and training, you know, running a course on what a sustained growth business looks like, what are evergreen company principles, how do we focus on people relationships and strengths finders, empowerment skills, building a team, really setting up that. But you do have to understand the family dynamic and navigate that, because, you know, again, G5 has a big influence. They're the parents of the G6 members, so it's navigating both sides of that.
Let's see, Matthew.
Ron, if I understood what you just said correctly, in training G6, you're training yourself out of a job. Why in the heck would you do that?
Great question, Matthew. So first off, I think I came out of retirement to take this role. And I really specifically was brought in to help bridge a gap of G5 to G6 leadership. What I wanted to do in retirement was teach, you know, do some employee ownership board work and then do some research and writing. So I'm getting to do those things as I'm actually leading the company in the role that I took.
I feel like you're selling yourself short when you say that. I feel like training that generation to run this company, that feels like who you are.
I get a lot of fulfillment out of helping others reach their full potential. And so as I lean into them, I'm just, in a year, I've been blessed to see how far people have progressed.
Jennifer?
Tell us about a major pivot in your life that has affected you today.
Jennifer, probably was about a decade ago. I was leading a company, a technology company. I thought I was doing everything right. We had a great plan. We were executing the plan. We had great numbers. We had great customer satisfaction, great employee satisfaction. We looked at employee engagement, a different measure, and our numbers were actually in the toilet. And I realized that my CPA background, me thinking I was doing everything right as a CEO, wasn't engaging employees and wasn't helping them be the best people they could be. And I really had to become a people first leader rather than a numbers first leader. And that was a cathartic moment in my career.
Is there,
Matthew?
Ron, you're so thoughtful about leadership. I imagine you've read a lot, you've done a lot. And yet when I asked you about John Harkins earlier, the first thing you said was energy, which is as non-academic and thoughtful as it could be. Explain that to me.
How many times you walk into a room and everybody just comes in with their papers and they put them down and they're getting ready for the next meeting. What I get to do is lead a business. I get to lead a fifth generation, sixth generation family business that's got a great history. Why wouldn't I bring energy into that room? And why can't I get my other leaders to bring that same energy, enthusiasm, excitement? And that's what John Harkins brought into the classroom every day.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for this organization known as FM Brown's Sons?
fmbrown.com.
Let me have that one more time, please.
fmbrown.com.
We've been speaking with Ron Schiess, who's the CEO of FM Brown Sons here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. This is Herb Cohen, your host at executiveleadersradio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be, and they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
Hey, listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. That's 800-890-5075. Paid for by Term Direct.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 9 plant protein bars, 8 hydration mixes, and 4 mushroom coffee sticks. And now you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping when you text RADIO to 64000. Text RADIO to 64000 to get your 20% off. That's RADIO to 64000.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know Rich Hipp, who's CEO of SLM Facilities. Rich, what is SLM Facilities? What are you guys doing?
Herb, we are an outsourced management firm for facilities nationwide, and we do that through 3,000 vendor partners.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
I grew up in Philadelphia, and then later in life, through grade school in the Delaware County, which is the suburbs of Philadelphia. I'm the oldest of four.
So you're the oldest of four, and you mentioned you moved around a lot because mom and dad got divorced when you were four. So you're the oldest of four. Your mom and dad got divorced when you were four. What did that do to you?
It really gave me and my brother relying on each other, self-reliance, and maybe a hard-working ethic, as we watched my mom work really hard to take care of us too.
You mentioned that you felt like you had to be the man of the house, and I had asked you, was that imposed on you, or did you sort of take it on? You told me you took it on. The fact that you and your brother were pretty close, the fact that you took on as the man of the house, what's that have to do with your role as CEO of SLM Facilities?
I just think it's making sure that you're taking care of the people around you, but also letting them the freedom to grow and learn at their own pace.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Putting guardrails around it too.
Uh-huh. All righty. Tiffany, why don't you give me a hand getting to know Rich, please?
Yeah. Hi, Rich. You mentioned that you noticed your mom was really hard working to take care of you and your brother. So how has that shaped your view of women in leadership and how you run your company?
I just think it's so important to recognize that how different people bring different perspectives and things to the table, and making sure that you're surrounding yourself with diversity in thought, diversity in background. It really helps the business to grow.
Gotcha. Jill?
You mentioned that you moved around a lot and playing sports helped bridge that gap in the neighborhood. What skills did you learn from that, and how did you bring that in as a CEO now?
I think it's all about teamwork at the end of the day, but having a common vision for how to win and making sure that we're practicing, and everybody needs a coach. I think that's another great analogy.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
Rich, you said in the green room that your mom left you and your siblings home often alone. How did that impact your management today?
I think the leaving us home when she was out there working hard, but she always had a network around us as boys growing up. And I think that's important in business too, just to make sure that everybody has a safe area for somebody they can go to that they can trust to help them when things are going maybe in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Michelle?
You mentioned that you played football and you were the quarterback, essentially the field general. How does that relate to the type of leader you are today?
I think being the leader of a Pee Wee football team, if I look back this far, it's really about taking the direction from the coach and making sure that everybody on the field plays to their ultimate, opportunity to take the ball down the field, and then just encouraging everybody too. You have to be a great quarterback, but you also have to be a great cheerleader at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Allison?
Rich, you mentioned that you started making money at 9 years old, and it wasn't really about the money, and you felt that you were pretty thrifty, more thrifty than the other kids. Where did that come from, and how does that sort of take you into today as the CEO?
I think it really came from my upbringing, and we were always taught to work really hard for every penny we got. And thinking about it from that perspective, I just try to encourage our organization to understand the finances of business, and that we all can contribute to a successful business if we understand the plan and the finances behind it.
Rich, in the green room when we were trying to get to know you, you said to me, "Herb, but I got to tell you something. It's about really important about me." I said, "What?" He said, and you said to me that my wife and I adopted 3 children from China. Why was that so important to you? Why is that so important to you?
I just think it was a time in our life where we really wanted to have children. We found out that we could not. And by reaching out and adopting these 3 girls, everyone says that we are the lucky ones, or our daughters are lucky because we found them. But the reality is we're blessed to have them in our life. And it
Why?
Just opens up our mind, open up our mind to how positively, how we can impact people positively. And also you have something more than yourself that you're working towards in your life.
Jill?
You mentioned that adopting them was the most important thing that you've done in your life. You've had an extremely successful career. Why is family more important to you in this scenario?
I just think that I look at business in the same way. I see my colleagues growing. I think I take pride in making sure that I'm contributing successfully to their growth. And I do the same thing with my daughters.
Rich, it seems to me that even though you didn't initially have a dad for a period of time, you certainly have stepped into that role, haven't you?
Yeah, and I think my mother remarried when I was 10, and I have a great relationship with my stepfather. But at the same time, I learned that we all need to take up different roles as we're maturing and growing. And it's the same in business.
Uh-huh. Tiffany?
Yeah, Rich, so sports was a huge part of your life when you were younger, getting acclimated to new neighborhoods and making friends. But you said that by the time you got to high school, you had to hang up your cleats. So how was the transition out of sports, and what does that have to do with how you run your life nowadays?
I think thinking back, I was a late bloomer, so I couldn't play sports in high school because I was a small guy then. But I got involved in a lot of different clubs and just participated in different ways in high school. And that translated into college and beyond, just getting to know people, working with people, being involved. And that just drove my leadership tendencies to be better and better.
Richard, it sounds to me, Michelle, please. What do you think of Michelle?
I just have a question. You speak so fondly about your family and fatherhood. How does that affect the type of work-life balance culture that you foster within the organization?
You know, I always try to tell everybody there's no such thing as work-life balance. I think what's most important in our lives is that we remain in the moment. So when you're in work, be 100% at work. And when you're at home, be 100% at home, and don't try to balance both.
Mm-hmm. Jill?
Who taught you that? When did you learn that being living in the moment lesson?
Yeah, how young were you?
I think it was probably, it came in when I was going into my undergraduate studies and not doing well in school. That's probably when it kicked in.
And how'd you learn that? How'd you pick that up? How'd you get that?
I think the more you focus on what you can do and not what you can't do, the better you get. And so we always tend to when we finish something, we think we have all this time, and what are we going to do with this time? It's really important that you fill it with what's most important to you. And the more you do that, the more you can achieve.
You think you're ever going to retire, Rich?
No, I don't think so. I'm on different board of advisors and board of directors for companies. I'm on the board of advisors for St. Joseph's University for adult education. And I just think in that context, I will always be engaged in learning and helping people.
Yeah, it sounds to me like those that are retired is a lesson, as well as those that aren't retired, is a lesson in what you were talking about, being in the moment and doing what's most, did you use the word meaningful to you, or what makes you happy? What was that thought again?
It's just what's most important to you. And I've tried to continually remind myself of questioning what is it that I'm doing now that's contributing to what's most important to me.
How do you know what's most important to you?
I think it changes over time, but I just continue to focus on in my business and in my family, it's about the people that are around me. And so if I focus on them, the rest will take care of itself.
Uh-huh. What's the website address for this organization known as SLM Facilities?
SLMfacilities.com.
We've been speaking with Rich Hipp, CEO of SLM Facilities, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Safety and access to benefits are top priorities as VA supports today's veterans. Online applications connect veterans with healthcare and other benefits. Telehealth provides safe, respectful care anywhere. Testing, vaccinations, and treatment help veterans during the pandemic. Housing assistance and mental health care support veterans as we all recover. Moving forward together. Choose VA today. Visit choose.va.gov.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Has Kamala Harris got her pitch ready for 2028? And can OPEC survive the coming turmoil? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
$2.8 million to study fighting hamsters, $11 million on cat constipation, $2.4 million to see if monkeys gamble. This is how Washington spends your tax dollars, funding absurd studies through U.S. universities. Campus Reform is exposing this waste, calling out taxpayer-funded grants that embarrass our institutions. Research dollars should support real progress, medical breakthroughs, innovation, not kitten motion sickness. Thanks to these reports, hundreds of millions in grants have already been canceled. Campus Reform will keep shining a light, holding wasteful programs accountable. Visit campusreform.org to stay informed. Restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one story at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
What does life after service look like? You might think it means slowing down or taking a step back. But for the VFW, it means stepping up. Fighting for veterans' benefits, rebuilding communities when disaster strikes, and evolving to meet today's veterans where they are. Because a veteran's mission never truly ends, and neither does ours. The VFW, still leading, still advancing, still serving. Get involved at stillserving.org.
Stop gaslighting the American people.
The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet.
As consumer confidence hits record lows, some economists are blaming Americans' confusion about the economy. While gas prices rise, just be honest with us.
Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Robert Strong, who's CEO of Quaint Oak Bank. Robert, what is Quaint Oak Bank? What are you guys doing?
Quaint Oak Bank is a local community bank. We are celebrating our 100th year of our bank charter. Interestingly enough, we're largely a remote bank.
Gotcha. So you're about 100 years old. And where are you from originally? And where are you in the pecking order, brothers and sisters?
Northeast Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Two older sisters. I'm the youngest.
Gotcha. Youngest of three. And 8 to 14, tell me a little bit about what you were doing. What were you doing as a kid, 8 to 14?
8 to 14, I was having fun. I was doing well in generally grammar school and then into high school at that age. Mm-hmm. Always exploring, always looking for new relationships and adventurous.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that when you were a kid, you were about 15 years old and you got yourself a job at a department store. What'd you do different than all the other kids that had that job?
I was largely the youngest one that had that job. I worked with adults. This was during the summer. Worked in a summer furniture patio.
So you were working, you're the only kid that were working with a bunch of adults. How's that parallel? How'd that lay the groundwork for what you're doing nowadays with this organization, which is a community bank, Quaint Oak Bank?
Trying to figure out what to do and where to go. A lot of times you don't get direction regardless of whether you're working with adults or working on your own.
Uh-huh. So you were trying to figure stuff out. You were the youngest one there, and these adults probably appreciated you. All right. Julia, why don't you give me a hand getting to know Robert, please?
Sure. Robert, it sounds like you were out and about in the neighborhood. What did that teach you, and how does that play into running the bank today?
Always exploring, always looking for a challenge, always looking for something new. The bank, when I joined it, was all of $16 million in assets. It was a very small building and loan conversion into a savings bank. So, in effect, it was a startup operation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kate, want to give me a hand, please?
Robert, so you're in the business of money itself. Growing up, was money about security or opportunity in your household? And what led you to that first job at 14 or 15 years old?
Security in my home life was not an issue. So money was not necessarily my driving force. It was always getting out and learning something new. I always had an interest in business, even at that age. And that's what drove me to actually get a job, was the involvement.
So what was your interest in business about? Where did that come from?
Well, I guess my father and my grandfather, and especially my grandfather, although he owned the farm, an active farm, he was also an entrepreneur who was involved in the building business and other operations. For example, he owned the movie theater at one point in his life.
Matthew?
Robert, I assume like me, your first bank account came with like a bank book or a bank card that you had to physically take into the bank when you made a deposit or took money out. How did that feel when you went in and the bank tellers wrote new numbers on your bank card?
Loved it. You know, the idea of moving forward, gaining more, was always encouraging to me. It was always the goal.
And what does that feeling, how does that inform how you run Quaint Oak Bank today?
Always looking to grow, always looking for a challenge, always looking to move forward. We are not your typical traditional bank in that we're involved in other aspects. For example, international correspondent banking. And you don't have too many local correspondent banks or too many local community banks, I meant to say, involved in some of the things we're involved in. We have subsidiary companies. We own a mortgage banking company. We own a insurance agency. We own a title abstract company.
Gotcha. Robert, Bob Clemens.
So Robert, I understand that you are the youngest of two much older sisters. How did that create the desire to expand into a community bank?
It's relationships. It's getting to know people, always exploring, as I tried to do as a child, learning new things. I'm always up for a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ron Cheese.
Yeah. Robert, in the green room, you told us you played offensive tackle on the football team. And then, you know, you leveraged that, your size and your tenacity then to land that first job in the department store moving furniture. How does grinding it out in the trenches influence how you lead and run the bank today?
You can never do enough. There's always somebody that's challenging you on the football field. But it is a lot of teamwork. You learn to move with the team. So it's both an individual, get better at what you do, learn more about what you do, but also work with others.
Do you still bring that same tenacity in the interior line into the chair every day when you come into the seat?
I try not to show it, but yeah, as a leader, as a visionary, you need to put your information forward. But sharing it is really the goal. Bringing people along, having them understand what the goal is what it's all about.
Jennifer?
Robert, growing up in Northeast Philadelphia, when you would go outside to play with the other kids and you looked around at the row homes and the twin that you lived in, did you think you wanted to stay in the neighborhood or go? And how has that impacted you today?
Well, at that time, of course, I was comfortable, but by the same token, I've never been satisfied. It's always been the next step. It's always been the larger home, the bigger family, the more success. Never necessarily satisfied with one business, so which is one of the reasons why we have several businesses within the holding company that owns the bank.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, didn't you have another question for Robert as well?
I do. I understand that at age 50 that you started your own business. How has that helped you grow Quaint Oak Bank over the years?
Interesting parallel, because you learn to figure things out even more so than working within a corporate structure. There's always something else. There's always something new. There's always something different that you have to get your arms around. Moving into Queen Oak Bank, as I said, it was a small operation, similar to a startup. And we've grown that over the years. We've taken it from a mutual to a publicly traded company. We are largely remote, although we have staff in each of the banking offices. Everyone else in the operation works remotely. So it's an interesting organization. And the ability to take on challenges is very high.
Robert, do you think you're ever going to retire?
I within the past year, I passed on the title of president. I don't get involved in daily operations the way I used to. I simply look down the road and see where we should be going.
That's not the question. That's not the question I asked, though. I asked, do you think you're ever going to retire?
I probably won't, because I just have this, I have three criteria, Herb, and that is, can I, am I relevant, am I physically able, and do I enjoy what I'm doing? And so far, so good.
So even though my sense is you've had a lot of financial success, you still like going to work. What is it about work that you enjoy?
I like the challenge. I like the change. I like new things.
You sound like a little kid. You sound like that kid in Lawndale that grew up riding the bike that would, you know, keep on exploring other neighborhoods. It's like, you know, it's always what else is out there. So it's, yeah, it's what you said it earlier. You said like you're happy, but you're not content. Is that the same stuff?
You might look at it that way. And Herb, there is a parallel. I mean, I don't know that there's a change in character from 8 to 14, whatever the age group you're looking at, to where I am today. I'm still the same person, still doing the same thing, just in a different way. Opportunity always comes camouflaged. You have to figure out what the opportunity is and go after it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, what's the website address of this organization that was Quaint Oak Bank?
QuaintOak.com.
QuaintOak.com. We've been speaking with Robert Strong, CEO of Quaint Oak Bank, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break.
This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you, because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses, where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
On a recent episode of Tech It Out, I caught up with Visa's Rob Cameron, Global Head of Acceptance Solutions, to talk about digital natives like Gen Z and how they're shaping the future of payments.
When we talk about Gen Z, didn't have to learn technology. They were literally born into it. And as a result, it makes them more open and accepting to new technology innovations we see. They're more trusting. And as this generation, which by the way, is going to represent about 27% of the workforce next year, starts to enter the economy, these fintech companies that create solutions for them are quite rightly racing to create solutions to engage them.
And Visa Acceptance Solutions is at the forefront of trusted digital payments. Build the future of payments with modular solutions, which you can learn more about at visaacceptance.com. That's visaacceptance.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Put all your gear on that you carry, and then roll around on the ground. Now get up. All your gear that's on the ground, that's what you're not going to have in a fight.
Gun Talk should be in your podcast feed. Check out Gun Talk Nation.
What's it like to be blown up?
You know, if it's like C4, it's almost like a smack.
Hunting. Yeah, we talk about that too.
On your crosshairs, I like a thin crosshair.
AJ, you're really dating yourself by calling things crosshairs.
Your reticle, whatever.
Have some fun and stay informed with the Gun Talk Podcast.
Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI. And you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. Mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Hey, listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob, and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. 800-890-5075. That's 800-890-5075. Paid for by Term Direct.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Gary Puddles, CEO of AnswerNet. Gary, what is AnswerNet? What are you guys up to?
AnswerNet is one of the largest telephone answering services in America, and we're a full-service BPO with specialties in nonprofit, energy, and customer care.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
In Old Bridge, New Jersey, and I'm the middle of three boys.
And tell us a little bit about what was going on in your childhood, 8 to 14 years old.
The biggest event in my childhood was at 10 years old, while I was doing my paper route, I doubled over in pain and then found out that I had a rare hip disorder called leg cavés perthes.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
From there, it really changed my life because I was no longer going to do sports. I was suddenly being driven to school in the bus with the kids with special needs. And I was wearing braces on my legs, even though I didn't look different, I didn't sound different. So I had this whole different experience in grade school that most of my peers didn't have. And that caused me to change everything about my approach to life. For example, because there were no sports, I focused on music, and the only instrument you could play in fourth grade was violin. So I took up the violin, learned how to read music, and music would play a role in my young life. Then it was gone for 30 years, and then a role in my business life.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Joy, you want to give me a hand getting to know Gary, please?
Sure. Gary, take us back to, you know, being 10 and now you're finding out that you have this disease. Where did you find the strength and the mindset to keep going?
Family, we're not keeping going. There was no option. So it was, here's the problem, and here's what I can do now. And it's taken me through my whole life. I've spent a career taking existing traditional companies like the answering service call center business, like Muzak, like the wireless business, seeing what the new realities are and changing those businesses, not turning them on their head, but to change the businesses to deal with the new realities that come up in those businesses.
Jennifer.
Gary, you had mentioned that you were in the hospital when you were diagnosed with this rare disease. When you were laying in the bed and you saw the nurses and you realized you were dependent on them, how did you deal with that and how has it impacted you in running the business today?
Always been good with adults. As a kid, I was always really good with adults. So I had a really large vocabulary, and my friends called me the governor. So because I was able to communicate with the nurses, you know, it's the same thing in high school when I got in trouble. Instead of suspending me, they made me the student representative on the parent-teacher council. So I've always been able to communicate and think differently and at a high enough level that adults really were able to deal with me on a much more peer-like level.
Mm-hmm. Kate?
So, Gary, earlier when we were talking, you said you have the unique ability to help people see problems differently. And I imagine your health journey played a role in that perspective. You're 10, facing a degenerative disease. A mindset can go a multitude of ways there. How did your family influence that mindset? And how does that affect how you lead your business today?
Grew up in a family that give up was just not an option. We didn't have a lot. My parents were both, you know, medium paid workers. My mom was a controller, a bookkeeper for lawyers. My dad was running a bakery and then got a low level job at Exxon. So we didn't have a quit. Quit was just not in our vocabulary. So I watched my dad make changes in his career. I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Robert, Bob, give me a hand, please.
So, Gary, the fact that you had this pretty significant struggle early on in life, how does that impact you today professionally?
There's a book by Ben Zander called The Art of Possibility, and it's part of how I live my life. The idea is with people, first of all, the people that I run, that I work with in this company, they're the same people I grew up with. They're hardworking, industrious people. And so that affects me. In addition, the ability to see problems, as we talked about, and simplify them. A lot of people take problems that they get in life and they get in business and they overcomplicate it. When you're a young kid, seeing the world the way I did, you make problems simple because simple problems are easy to solve.
Matthew?
Gary, tell me more about music's role in your life. When you were a child, why were you attracted to it? What did you enjoy about it?
Grew up in a musical family. My mom was a piano player who studied. She went to classes at Juilliard. She didn't go to Juilliard. And my dad was a bugler for the New York City Boy Scouts. My older brother was a truly accomplished musician. So
tell
music
me about
plays.
You. Tell me about what
so
you did in this role in
I
your
went
life.
To get, I went to get medical clearance to play soccer as a freshman. The doctor laughed at me, told me he would never give me medical clearance because of my hip. So I went to my brother and I went to the band director and I said, I know how to read music. He put a bass drum on my back and I became a drummer from that point on.
And why did you like being a drummer in the band?
Because hitting other people was frowned upon. No, because I could use my knowledge of music and play. So I knew how to read music. In fact, even today, after 30 years, when I took music up again, I'm able to pull down charts from the internet and read the music. So if I don't know a song, I can pick it up much more quickly. Many drummers who grew up naturally drumming don't know how to read music, and that theory helps me. The more knowledge you have, the easier it is to solve problems and run a business.
And you told me there was a reason you didn't want to be like the lead in the band. What was that all about?
Well, I do a lot of leading. I've been a natural leader since I'm a kid. And I say that in the band and in my marriage are the only two places in my life where I'm 100% support.
And you also, it sounded, just from what you've been talking, that you've put together, it seems like 100 different bands in every place you go. You put a band together or something. What's that all about?
I'm marrying my music to, so we have two bands locally in Philadelphia, Bucket Band Philly and Fun Size. And then what I've done is I have created bands in various industry associations so that when I go to an industry conference, I'll bring people from that industry, we'll be able to create music groups. So I played Nashville. We rented a studio the night before. We practiced for 2 hours, and then we did an 8-song show opening up for Blake Shelton's touring band. So it's marrying all of your passions and bringing them together creates authenticity in leadership.
Mm-hmm. Sounds to me like you're a natural puller together of people. You've got a business of 1,200 people, one of the largest answering services in the world. And you're developing other businesses through that business, and it just shows up. Your implicit nature, because everywhere you go, you're starting a band. You're just a natural puller together of people and setting a vision, aren't you?
Started the business. I moved up here as the general counsel of a real estate company, and I got fired. I wrote down all the things I liked in a business, and one of those, and all the things I didn't, and found a business to buy. And one of the things that I liked was people management, people leadership, not even management, but leadership. And that in the call center business is leadership. I love people. I believe people can be great wherever they are, because I knew that even with my handicap, and if you want to call it that, that I had the ability to be great.
Matthew?
Gary, you taught us in the green room you're a hustler. And it's clear in 2 minutes of listening to you that you're a hustler. 8 to 14, who showed you how to hustle? Where did you learn what hustling means?
Parents, my father in particular. My father not only had his job, but he ran for politics, the local politics in Old Bridge. And then add to that, every activity my brothers and I were in, my father took a leadership role in that group. Whether it was Little League, the Boy Scouts, whatever we got involved in, he was there adding his effort to our activities and our passions.
Gary, what's the website address for this organization known as AnswerNet?
AnswerNet.com. So it's AnswerNet.com.
We've been speaking with Gary Puttles, CEO of AnswerNet, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And Matthew, could you give us a rundown of who else we've had the opportunity hanging out with?
Sure, Ken. We started off with Ron Sheese, the CEO of F.M. Brown Sons, Inc. Then we had Rich Hipp, CEO of SLM Facilities. We talked with Robert Strong, the CEO of Quaint Oak Bank, and just now we hustled our way through an interview with Gary Puttles, the CEO of AnswerNet.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Kate Duffy, Wisfis Bank, Jennifer Schaefer, JS Benefits Group, Matthew Shapiro, Obermeyer, Bob Clements, FRS Advisors, and Julia Langan, Consumer 51, for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 9 plant protein bars, 8 hydration mixes, and 4 mushroom coffee sticks. And now you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping when you text RADIO to 64000. Text RADIO to 64000 to get your 20% off. That's RADIO to 64000.